Amen, amen. Raise your Bible, review it, and let us say these words together. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Amen. And we're looking this morning at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And we will look at verse 39. As we look at this, talking about the agony of it all. I have heard of being homesick, but have you heard of being here sick? Amen. And because of the ongoing existence of sin in the world, problem seems to be a way of life. It's the ongoing routine of life. It is the ongoing saga of sin. It is the agony of it all. And the aim of our sermon is for us to get mad enough at sin to want to do something about it. For us to get mad enough at sin to want to do something about it. Keep your Bibles handy as we look at this, because sin is the main focus. That's what got Jesus in this garden. Don't tell me about your saga stories about how nothing ain't working out when we live, or you should know that we live in a fallen world. Amen. Don't tell me about how life is treating you. Because we live in a fallen world. Life is what it is, but it's not what it ought to be. But it is what it is because of sin. Tell your neighbor, it is what it is. Amen, amen. So don't need sometimes I think we overlook or we forget this, that we are living in a fallen world. Things do not go right, and they are not going to go right as long as we are in a sin-cursed society. And they keep expecting themselves to be completely fulfilled here. When I think about agony, I think about an intense pain. Basically, you're agonizing. It is an intense pain of the mind and the body. Amen. And you are basically agonizing. Amen. When you are in agony, when there is the increased frustration with life, things don't go right. Amen. And so we must realize that there is anguish in this life. And what we must understand is that the struggle continues. When I think about what the Bible says about agony, amen, the word agony, and we'll be looking at Luke as well. I'll be referencing Luke, rather, Luke chapter 22. Because this word agony is found in Luke 22:44. And that same story is told there by Dr. Luke. And that word agony there in Luke is agonia, means to struggle, or is to be in a state of struggling. Is anybody here, amen, you don't have to raise your hand, struggling with something? Amen. You understand what I'm saying? And understand that it is a state that you're in. It is an ongoing state of struggle. And that struggle, amen, is because of sin. It is and it is ongoing. Amen. We struggle with temptation. We struggle with treasure. We struggle trying to do right. We struggle with temptation. Amen. Is that a struggle? Amen. The whether it's flesh or food. Amen. Amen. Have we got a witness? Amen. Whether it's weight or woman. Amen. There can be, amen, the agony of trying to do right, trying to act right, trying to do right. Amen. We struggle with temptation. Amen. Amen. We struggle with it. Temptation is a struggle. Don't get no halo on your head and thinking that, you know, I have arrived. No, temptation is a struggle, my brothers and sisters. Joseph ran for a reason. Amen. He knew he was not strong as he ought to be. He got out of the house. Sometimes you got to put your gym shoes on and you got to run. It's not going to be easy. Living the Christian life is not going to be easy. It is a struggle to do what's right. It is a struggle, temptation to, amen, to do what is right. It is a struggle even with our treasure. It's a struggle with our spending, trying to control your spending, whether it is spending or whether it is tithing. It is a struggle that you have. Amen. You struggle with temptation. You struggle with your treasure. There's a struggle to try to do right. Amen. Paul says, when I try to do right, evil is always present. Amen. Wickedness. Amen. There's a struggle with wickedness and weakness are team up on me, and it's hard for me to do right. Paul said, every time. Matter of fact, Paul said, I'm just going to make a law out of it. In Romans 7:21, he said, I find it then a law. Can everybody say law? Amen. Amen. He said, I find it a law. I'm going to make a law out of it. Every time you try to do right, evil is always present. You can't hardly do what you ought to do because there's going to be something there pulling on you. When I try to do right, evil is present with me. And Paul says there is a struggle, ladies and gentlemen. And so we look at this and we find out that it's really about the agony of life, amen, as we live in it. Amen. This is what the Lord gave me, amen. And so he says in verse 30, Jesus, what we find here is that Jesus basically and his disciples in verse 30 had just left the Mount of Olives. And he says, Peter said, I'll die with you. Verse 35, I'll die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. I will die, but I won't deny. And he's not the only one who said it. All the disciples said it, according to the Bible. And then what we find out is that Jesus, here he comes to verse 36. Jesus coming to the place called Gethsemane. Amen. This place is now the what you have here basically is a garden amongst the olive groves or the olive trees. When they came into the Mount of Olives, the Mount of Olives is a garden. There's a big rock there. We've been over there and we've seen that rock, that agonizing rock that they think Jesus prayed on. But it is a garden. Is a tree. John calls it a garden in John 18:1. Amen. John says that this is a garden, but it is a olive trees, a garden amongst the olive trees, and it is a place where they took olives and crushed them and pressed them for the purpose of getting oil. What an ideal place to deal with what Jesus is about to deal with. And because in life there is an agonizing part of it where you will be crushed. Amen. And Jesus says, you know, I'm going to, he says, at verse 36, that he comes to a place called Gethsemane. Amen. Gethsemane is the name of the garden, but they are at the Mount of Olives, and it is just east of Jerusalem, across the Kidron Valley, and his disciples. And notice what he said in verse 36. He said, "Sit ye here while I go pray yonder." When you are going through, amen, amen. When you're going through, you need somebody who has a history. You can see the history of proving persons who have proven to have a track record of having your best interests at heart. Well, let me let Jesus say it. Jesus, what did Jesus say in Matthew 12:33? You don't have to turn there, but Jesus said in Matthew 12:33, he says, a tree is known by its fruit. Amen, 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 amen. Real friends will produce fruit. You will find, he said, you'll know them by what they do. A tree is known by what it produces. Amen. If the fruit is present, I guess what Jesus is telling us that you have to be a fruit inspector with your friends. Amen. You have to inspect the fruit to see if they are really there for you, not people that told you that they were your friend. And then there are those who may have been with you even in doing something, but it was something in it for them. They were not genuine either. But when you are in your darkest hour, you need somebody that you can trust. And Jesus knew that Peter, James, and John was somebody that he could trust. It was something about them. And Peter, James, and John. Peter, if you'll notice in verse 50, Peter was a kind of a man that you know, Peter acted halfway crazy. But when they put their hands on Jesus, he pulled out his sword. And when the battle got hot in verse 50, we found out that Peter, when they laid hands on Jesus, Peter took out his sword, according to John 18 and 10. And he cut off the man's ear, cut off his right ear. Somebody said he was aiming for his head. But when they came and grabbed Jesus, Peter pulled out his sword and he started fighting. Sometimes you got to have some folk with you. Hey, man, I don't know if I'm going to get to the sermon. I didn't put this in the Bible. Now, amen. That's what happened. I don't know why he like, but Peter was the one, and James and John, they were known as the sons of thunder. Amen. And sometimes, you know, people that won't speak up, people that won't fight, are not really your friends. You don't see the fruit. Jesus said a tree is known by its fruit. A lot of folk in your life, they just your friend because of what was said. But when the battle gets hot, they won't do nothing. You got to have some fruit. Amen. I'm not talking about Fruit Loops. I'm not talking about something that tastes. I mean, you look in the box, there ain't no fruit in there. You can't find an apple. You can't find a pear. But it's called fruit. And I said, yeah, loops. Amen. Amen. I can't find no fruit. And false friends will not produce real fruit. And when the battle gets hot, you need somebody. And you know it is true. Now, everybody, one Bible commentator says everybody should strive to be in the inner circle. But those who are not in an inner circle are not because they don't qualify in the sense that they won't be accepted. But it's something that they're doing that's keeping them out. You think Jesus would care more about three than he would the others? Wonder why would he take these three? We know Jesus is not partial. We know Jesus don't show no favoritism. But the reality of it is there are only some folk that are genuine friends. And you know it is true. There are people, a real friend, just them coming in the room gives you strength. He said, I just don't want, and when you're going through your darkest hour, when you're down and out, and when you're really hurting, when you bring a, when you get from bring a real friend in the room, they'll give you energy. They'll give you strength. Real friends increase you. But false friends deplete you. They leave you drained. A friend that's playing like they're your friend that you've been around, it's a lot of work involved. When they leave, they took something. Well, enough about the friends. The truth is, there was a connection made. I do know that Jesus is not partial. And I do know that if all eight of those other disciples would have wanted to, Jesus would have accepted all of them. But it's something about life that when you go through it, if you get five friends, you are blessed. Chances are you're going to get but one or two in a lifetime. One or two. Genuine friend. You think Jesus was partial? We know he's love. He's not going to discriminate against anybody. But for some reason, he said, "Now y'all sit here while I go pray." And then he took with him Peter, James, and John. Well, the fact of the matter is that this was a time, in verse 38, he says, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." Jesus here is in a bad situation. Jesus here is suffering. Amen. This is Jesus here is suffering, and he's not just the Bible says he's not just sorry or depressed, but he is exceedingly sorrow, and even unto death. In other words, he's saying, "I'm about to die. I am so depressed, I'm almost at the point of death." He says, "I'm at the point, even unto death." He says, "And I need somebody to just be around me. I'm suffering, and I need somebody near me. I need somebody around me because I'm going through." And when he was in that situation, it was a bad situation because we know that it was so bad that Jesus began to sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Amen. Jesus here is under intense suffering. He says, "My soul on the inside, I'm so depressed, I'm so sorrowful, that I'm almost about to die." And then we come to our text, verse 39. He says he went a little further and he fell on his face. Wow. And prayed, saying, "Our Father, if it be possible, take this cup, let it pass. Nevertheless, not I will, but as thou will." Amen. And the first thing we want to see is with the routine of life. Amen. I don't know where you are in your life, but Jesus is, he's been doing a lot of things, and now he, as he goes, he has now come to this part in his life. Amen. Jesus had gone and he kneeled down and he prayed. The good thing about this is that Jesus went away and he fell down and he fell on his face. Here he is. Some writer says he put his head between his legs and bent down and touched the earth with his head. Normal posture for prayer. You ought to pray. Amen. Amen. And you ought to have a place for prayer. You ought to have a posture for prayer. And you ought to have a period that you pray. You ought to have a certain time that you will go and pray. And Jesus knew what he needed. Amen. He had his buddies, but he needed some prayer. And what do we find out? That as he was praying, Luke 22:43 says that even angels came from heaven. And what did those angels do? They appeared unto Jesus, and what were they doing? Luke 22:43 says that an angel came strengthening him. Prayer will give you strength. When you're going through, you got your people around you, and you're praying. Jesus went the. You see, some things you're just not going to make it on your own energy. You're going to need some extra power. When your problems put you on your face, when your problems just make you sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Amen. You're really stressed out. But he knew who to go to, and he knew what to do. He got his buddies around him. He's talking to his heavenly Father. God sends an angel down and gives him enough strength that he may go on to do the will of God. You see, in doing the will of God, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. And Jesus here is tempted not to follow through. You know how it is when you say you can do something, and the closer it gets, you know, I was doing fine. Oh yeah, I got to do this. I got to do this. Oh yeah, I can handle it. I'm ready. Then another day goes by, and the closer it gets to that date, you begin to get kind of, you know, you don't know if you can really. You begin to break down. I thought I could do this. I thought I could handle this. But the closer I get to it, Jesus said, now he knew he was, he already told him, I'm going to rise from the dead. But what's, if you're going to rise from the dead, what's the matter? It's the humanness in all of us. The closer you get to certain things, if you're not careful, the more it'll break you down. But we know what to do about it. If you go down on your knees and pray, because life can wear you down. And when you get closer, you get your emotions start to leap out. And you knew you could do it, but then your emotions start. You begin to be overwhelmed by your emotions. And life will wear you down. Amen. It's the daily grind. One thing after another. One problem after another. One person after another. One thing after another. The little things, the big things. Amen. It's an ongoing thing. The hard things, the easy things, amen. The day-to-day grind, the routine of life, amen, amen. It just keeps coming back and back, the regular stuff, over and over again. If you're not careful, you wonder if you're even a Christian. Sometimes you think, you wonder, why is all these things happening to me? But it's just the agony of it all. You're gonna have a life as serving God of agony. One thing after another is gonna be happening. Ongoing, you're gonna have to deal with it. And don't think that everything's gonna be just, you know, you're gonna hit the cruise button and everything's fine. No. As that God said sometimes, Richard Dimplesfield said, if it ain't one thing, it's another. When you get through with that problem, there's going to be another one. If it ain't that problem, it's going to be some person. If it ain't the kids, it's going to be some sickness. If it ain't the money, it's going to be the job. If it ain't the employees, it's going to be the folk at church even. I mean, if it ain't your car, it's going to be your washing machine. Don't get to the point to where you think living in a fallen world that, okay, once I get this fixed, everything's going to be fine. No. It's the agony of it all. And those rough times have a way of stealing. Amen. Amen. The worries of tomorrow have a way of stealing the good thing that happened today. And once you get that, you say, here's something else. If it ain't one thing, it's another. Now, I done solved this problem, and now I got this problem. Lord, what are you going to do about it? He said, well, it is the agony of it all. I came to tell you that we're not home yet. Folk going to get sick. Folk going to keep on dying. You're going to keep on needing something. Something going to keep on going wrong. If it ain't one thing, it's another. You finish one funeral and there's another one. You shocked by this, then you shocked by that. If it ain't one person, it's another person. If it ain't your haters, it's your friends. If it ain't the folk you live with, it's the folk you don't live with. Everywhere you go, it's the agony of it all. I'm not home yet. I'm here sick. Oh, yes, I'm homesick. I want to go home. I don't want to stay here. This world is not my home. And if you're not careful, as I close, if you're not careful, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. If you're not careful, you're going to try to make it your home. But no. You see, a lot of folk, they like it here. And they, if you're not careful, you'll get to thinking that this is heaven. That ain't nothing supposed to go wrong. Good things ain't supposed to happen to bad people. Bad things ain't supposed to happen to good people. This world is all mixed up. And if you're not careful, you'll get mad at God and agonize with God and want to know, Lord, why do all these things keep happening? And if you're not careful, you're going to try to make here home. But God has that there's going to be enough problem to make sure that don't happen. I'm going to make sure you be longing to get out of here. Ah, yeah. You know, I'm not going to let you make home here. And don't try to make home here. We're not home yet. There's going to be some more ups, some downs. There's going to be some more tears. There's going to be some more disappointments. There's going to be some more funerals. There's going to be some more loss of loved ones. There's going to be some more broken hearts. We're not home yet. Amen. And God says, if I let you make down their home, you won't want to come home. Earth is not heaven. Father, I thank you now for your word.